Michael Healy, good morning to you. I understand you were out there this morning and saw what was going on, the clearing of the tent city. What's your reaction?
I saw that starting first thing this morning, and it was a major operation because, to be honest, Jerry, the situation had got totally out of hand. You literally had a tent city in Mount Street where there was no appropriate services. There wasn't showers, there wasn't toilets, and it just couldn't be allowed to continue. So I think it's very appropriate that this morning, myself and my colleagues in the Rural Independent Group, we're having a motion about the Migration and Asylum Pact, because we have great concerns. But the people of Kerry, I just want them to know a couple of facts about what we're raising this morning. Now, this is, just to be very clear and so that people know the difference, this is nothing to do with the Ukrainians that are coming to Ireland. This is the cost of international protection. So it's what we call the IPs. The accommodation has gone from 191 million in 2021 to 653 million in 2023. And it's expected to be 1 billion for 2024. So that has nothing to do with the Ukrainians that are staying in Ireland. That's the cost of international protection. And I and my colleagues are raising this because we have been doing so on a continuous basis. But we really believe that the policy that we have in Ireland is wrong. And that when we've seen what has happened with people coming down from the north across the border and coming into Dublin, and the fact that England and Denmark and other countries seem to not be attractive for people to come to, but people are coming here in an enormous numbers.
Just on that about England, Michael, it's not exactly accurate to say it's not attractive. There are more people going in boats across the channel to England. Five people died last week trying to do it, and they've been grappling with the same problems ever since they had Brexit. They still have increasing numbers of people coming out. It might change with the Rwanda policy, and that might be a push or a pull factor to hear from people in the UK, but as things stand, they still have numbers coming in, like us.
They do, but could I word it to this way? They're doing more about getting them out, and they're doing more about dealing with the actual problem than we are, because our government seems to be, in other words, we're reacting all the time. We have a Minister for Foreign Affairs saying one thing, we have a Minister for Justice saying something different. There's no joined up thinking, and that's why we want to debate this today on the floor of the Dáil.
So what are you suggesting that the government do in order to solve this problem? If you were the Minister for Justice, or if you were Roderick O'Gorman, what would you do to try and, well, are you suggesting we stop or cap the numbers or put up a border, or what's the idea?
Well, you see, the first thing I have to say is that for all intents and purposes, Ireland is full. When you can't get a doctor in South Kerry, when you have to give a day or 2 days inside Nanny looking...
I'm just going to have to interject there on that statement that Ireland is full. Like, if every asylum seeker, given the numbers that are there, the 20,000 or so, we have 100,000 Ukrainians here at the moment. If you talk about asylum seekers, the reason why you can't get a GP in South Kerry is not because of international protection applicants. And to say it is just not true. If they disappeared tomorrow, we would still have problems with GPs, given our population and given the lack of planning in relation to GP training and a host of other issues that contribute to that.
I would have had my point made if you left me keep talking. My point.
No, but if you say Ireland is full, Michael, and you blame asylum seekers for GPs, it's just not true. That's the point I'm putting across.
Can I make my point now? So
you can.
My point is, when people come to a country, it is not enough just to talk about housing them. You know perfectly well, if you house somebody, you have to help educate their children. You have to take care of their healthcare. You must have the wraparound services. And I believe that at present, we don't have the wraparound services adequately and in a timely fashion. So it's not enough to say, well, people can keep coming and we'll just have to manage. There is such a thing, Jerry, as being able to say, you can't manage. And I believe many of our...
So how do we do that? So if you're suggesting that, right, nobody else gets in until we have the proper services in place, how do you do that in the context of being part of the European Union? Are you suggesting we do what England did and leave?
No.
And have our own control of our borders?
No, you know that I'm not saying that either. But another thing that I wanted to say is in our motion today, we said it yesterday during a press conference, we believe that the people of Ireland, the cost and the enormity of what is going on around the country is so much, and the concern at the doorstep is so much, that this should actually go to a referendum. The people should actually have a say on the EU migration and asylum pact. They should have their say, because at the end of the day, Jerry, it's the Irish people are paying for it. And I know, for example, in canvassing for the local elections recently, and I know that you want to discuss the situation out in Ballymac, there's concern by people, and these are people who are not in any way racist. They're not people who are calling people names or saying anything derogatory about anybody. But what they're saying is they have concerns about what is happening in communities. And I know that, for instance, with regard to the situation in Edinburgh House, I know that Jackie Healy raised it in the month of March, and the CEO at the time said that there was no place being sought or looked at under the refurbishment, the BOTB, the program for Ukrainians, and that there was no place being looked at. And at the time, Jerry, you know that people representing Edinburgh House, they came on Radio Kerry, and they clearly said that the accommodation there was going to be used for sale or for long-term rental. And we all took that, as you did yourself, I'm sure. It was the facts that were told.
It was a statement given that it was going to be offered to the private market. Correct. They were being refurbished for that. Now we learn from the Department of Integration, who emailed TDs during the week, that it's being offered to the Department of Integration to house people fleeing the war in Ukraine, and assessments are being carried out to see if it is suitable.
And just to be clear, the first time the TDs knew about that was on Monday the 29th at 11:41. An email came to all of us telling us of that information. But unusually enough, it didn't actually go to the county councillors, who had raised it at the council meetings. Like I said, Jackie Healy-Ray and others from the Castle Island area had raised their concerns. And the answer that they got was, oh no, it's not happening. And also then it went out, and rightly so, because you only reported what you were told, that it was for sale and for rent. And now that seems to be not the fact. And you'd have to question the suitability of it, because it's a rural area, lack of services locally. You'd have to walk a long distance to go to a shop. And I mean, and another thing that we don't want to see in the Ballymac area, because Ballymac Gilligate is a beautiful area and a nice, peaceful area. We don't want to see agitation or nastiness coming into our communities that we've seen in other parts of the country, because everybody has a right to be concerned.
Yeah.
But there is no need, Jerry. I mean, we saw scenes that I never want to see in Ireland, where a person spat in the face of a Garda in his uniform, who put on his uniform that morning for you and for me and for the other people up and down the length and breadth of the country, and that a Garda should have to be spat at in the face, and a person coming out wielding an axe and driving it through the windscreen of a
squad car. You're talking about Newton Mon Kennedy.
I am, and we saw that happening. And
what do you say then, Michael? You're a member of the Rural Independent Groups. The motions before the Dáil this morning on the EU Migration Pact. What do you say then to your colleague in the group, Matty McGrath's comments yesterday, comparing the actions of the Gardaí at Newton Mon Kennedy to the B specials in Northern Ireland?
Oh, Jerry, I have to be factual in answering you that. I'm not responsible for what comes out of anybody else's mouth. And all I can tell you is
But you're standing beside him in the Dáil this morning, moving a motion on migration. He was talking about the scenes outside Newcombe County, which is tied to the same issue. And he effectively attacked the Gardaí and said they were heavy-handed. And he called Drew Harris and his gang, the Commissioner of An Garda Síochána.
Well, all I can tell you is the Garda Síochána are not a gang. They work for us on our behalf.
Are you comfortable then standing beside him this morning on the migration pact? Given his comments on the Gardaí, he was pulled up by the Taoiseach yesterday. Like the concern is the language being used by members of the Rural Independent Group is leading and abetting the agitation and raising fears in relation to migrants and supporting those who are protesting violently against the Gardaí with language like that.
It was I raised the issue of the Gardaí with you, because I was so outraged at what happened. A respectable member of our force, they're working for us on our behalf, and I support them not 100% but 110%, because if we don't have the Gardaí keeping law and order, we have...
But your colleague in the Rural Independent Grouping is describing them like the B specials, their actions that day, even though, as you yourself say, they were violently attacked.
They were, but I'm not describing them as anything like that. I'm sitting in the seat which is assigned to me in Dalian. I'm supporting a motion this morning. If you read it word for word, it's very, what I would call, proper in it, the way it's presented. There is no language in that that attacks anybody. All we are doing is being political about it.
Sure. But if a man and you're calling for a debate on the issue, and you want the yes. migration pact to be heard, what would you say, though, or what would you reject the notion which has been said by others, including some of the politicians on the left in Dáil Éireann, that you're using this issue, that you're using it for political gain, to stoke up fears, to try and gain politically, to make yourself look tough on migrants and foreigners coming in?
No.
What's your response to that?
No, jury, because going back, before we had, for example, an influx of people at all in any large scale, the time that the war broke out and when every one of us were concerned, I said at that time, and I actually thought I was being very generous about it, I thought that we should bring in 20,000 Ukrainians and stop, because I thought that's all we could actually cater for properly with, like I said to earlier, the wraparound services. So I'm consistent in what I'm saying. Sure. You can only do what's right and proper and what you can manage to do rightfully. But my point is now, there seems to be no end to the problem, and the government haven't given us the solutions to the problem. But our motion today, I think it's right and proper. With regard to anything being said about the Garda Síochána in the Dáil yesterday, I am not responsible for words that comes out of somebody else's mouth. I'm responsible for one person, and that's
you and Dáil Éireann. Okay, final brief point, one or two things I want to get to quickly. Just on the issue of Edinburgh, is it services you're concerned about in relation to the numbers coming into, or the possible, and it hasn't been done yet, contract hasn't been signed yet, people will say you yourself are providing accommodation for Ukrainian refugees, so why not the people who own Edinburgh?
Well, I provide accommodation, as you know very well, Jerry, since I was 19 years of age, for students, for workers, for families, for all different categories.
So is it the location of Edinburgh and the services pressure you would be concerned about? Because the numbers of Ukrainians are dropping significantly in terms of what's coming in. The state are closing off contracts in hospitality and hotels, and they want to move them to places like Edinburgh because it puts less pressure on hotel tourism beds. They're trying to get out of that situation, solve that problem by moving them to places like Edinburgh.
But when you have a very quiet rural area like Edinburgh, you would have to question the idea that is that the right place to put a large group of people where there's no footpath, there's no street light, there's no local shop. You're literally landing them. I'll say Ballymac is a beautiful area, but it is remote. If you're there and you don't have a car, and many of the people that would be coming
it's already been done elsewhere in Kerry, though. In Kenmare, they're in a place across from a 5-star hotel which has no footpaths, no shops locally, a long walk for many. It's happened already.
But the only thing I'd say to you about that is you would have to question it. And again, lack of consultation, and then what I would call wrong information, because your own respectable radio station was given information. Of course, anybody's entitled to do a U-turn and a change, but you would have to admit
it could have been at the time, this is our intention, circumstances can change, this is several months on,
And I respect its private property, and if they were going doing one thing, which they told us that they were, and if they change,
they're entitled to change their minds.
100%, but it is a big U-turn, and we were all caught.
Final brief point. You raised the issue with the Taoiseach yesterday of Liam Dennehy Quinn. Have you an update on the very latest with that, and any hope of an operation soon for him?
I do. We're on day 24 now of Liam Dennehy Quinn being over inside University Hospital Kerry, and I'm grateful for the people there for the care that they are giving him. He can't stay at home because he's not good enough to be at home. He needs 24 hours a day care. His mom, Pamela, is worn out, as is his grandmother, Mary. He has a 92% curvature on his spine as of February. He's waiting for an operation to be carried out in Dublin. I raised it last week with the Taoiseach. I raised it with the Minister for Health. I raised it again yesterday with the Taoiseach. Now he's at risk of needing two surgeries and a longer stay in hospital. He's becoming more rigid every day and potentially inoperable.
Time of the essence. Is it likely to happen this week even? Do we know?
Well, I didn't ask the Taoiseach yesterday. I literally begged him, because this is such a serious operation, and it's very seldom we'll see me begging anybody for anything. But I did beg him yesterday on behalf of the family and on behalf of the lovely, beautiful 13-year-old boy. Now, what has happened is there is talk of what I would call a tentative date, but that has not been given officially. It hasn't been given by a consultant. It was literally given by a nurse over a phone, because of constant questioning by the mom, and we're not one bit happy with that, because we don't have concrete evidence. Now, I did speak yesterday evening again to a junior minister for health, who actually came to me about the situation, and she very kindly said that she would go intervening and do everything that she could, and I appreciate help from everybody, because of the simple fact we're talking about a young, beautiful boy who needs to be given a chance at life, who needs to be given a chance of a quality of life. Yeah. Life. And when you think of a person, Jerry, and everybody has a heart at the end of the day, when you think of a person on day 24 and no immediate light at the end of the tunnel, with becoming more rigid every day, it's absolutely horrible, Jerry. And again, I want everybody to support Pamela in her quest that all we're looking for is an operation to take place in Dublin, but we need it to happen sooner rather than later. And I respect the Taoiseach and the ministers, and I thank them for trying to help us, if they will pull the finger out and just help us to have the operation that we desperately need.
And hopefully they'll get a date for sooner rather than later. Okay, Deputy Healy-Way, we'll have to leave it there.